Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to fulfill in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy. Fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. "Master," Peter said, "it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. He did not know what he was saying. This is the text. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. My dear brother and sister, this is a very interesting lesson here. Mountains have a significant part in God's communication with us, in God's relationship with us. It seems as though every big and significant event takes part and takes place on a mountain. Whenever God wants to say something important, he calls the press. He calls a press conference. That's what happens on the mountains. The Ark of Noah landed on Mount Ararat. Moses went up to Sinai to receive the two tablets with the Ten Commandments. That's another mountain. And then Elijah was told to meet with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And then there is that other most significant of all mounts, Mount Golgotha. The view from the mountain can be quite impressive. There is a mountain on which I was born in southern Brazil, and you walk to the edge of it, and you can see 40 kilometers, that's 25 miles away. And at night, you see the different cities and villages, and it is beautiful. The view from the mountain is truly inspiring, and it renders you to awe that God would have created such a giant of a structure just for you to stand on it and look down. But here in the text, we learn another view. The view on the mountain is even more awe-inspiring. It is even more awesome than any other view in this world. It is when we view He who stands on the mountain, our Lord Jesus Christ. Two outstanding mountains in our relationship with God are Mount Sinai, where He gives us His law and He tells us about Him. This is what I like, this is what I don't like. You can do this, but not that. Because if you do that, you certainly shall die. And then He talks about Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, our eternal home. The rub is, how do you get from Sinai to Zion? God installed another mount between the two. We go through Golgotha. What happened on Golgotha is what enables us to go all the way home to Mount Zion. Without Golgotha, Zion remains closed. But it is through what happened on Golgotha that paradise is reopened to us. And the two men standing there, Moses and Elijah, and no one really knows why those two. We can guess. Oh, both were not buried here. One was buried by God, and Elijah was taken to heaven by the chariots and the fire horses of Israel, but nobody truly knows. The interesting thing is, that they were talking about Jesus' exit through Jerusalem. Mount Golgotha is in Jerusalem. They were talking about Jesus' death. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah are talking about Mount Golgotha. Because that is necessary if you want to survive and talk about it. If you want to go all the way to Mount Zion. Peter is happy as a little puppy. He cannot even fit in his skin. He is bubbling, and he said, "Lord, it's good to be here. Let's put up three shelters." Now, the word in Hebrew for shelter has a double meaning. It is meeting, a tent of the meeting, to shelter, to tabernacle, to get together, to be in communion with one another. This is really good. So let's keep the three of you together here with us, where the three of us can meet with the three of you in the splendor of this place, because Jesus' clothing was white as the sun. And while he was still speaking, there comes a cloud, an explosion of light. As if God the Father were listening to Peter and saying, "Oh, Peter, you want to gather with me? You want to tabernacle? Well, this, Peter, is tabernacle. This little light that you see here is nothing. How is this for light?" And he explodes in light. And then Peter gets a glimpse of heaven. That light that no darkness ever can overcome. Paradise restored. All perfection is installed back in place. That is in store for you and me. A perfect home. A beautiful, eternal home. Peter, who had never met personally Moses and Elijah, because one was dead for 1,500 years, the other 700 years, knew them. Why? Because in heaven there are no unanswered questions. Everything becomes very plain. We know as we are known now, then we shall know, says the Apostle Paul. In heaven, we will know everyone. Just imagine to walk up to anyone you want to and talk about those giants of faith who lived in the past, who conquered kingdoms, who bartered their life for another church, who became martyrs of the Christian faith, people who abandoned the comforts of their home, like so many of our missionaries right now, 107 of them of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod alone, and go out into the wilderness of the insecurity of unorganized places and chaotic governments, into countries that don't even have a mail service, like Angola and Mozambique. They go there and they sacrifice their lives for the faith of the people. I wanted to send packets or pallets of supplies to the Lutheran Church in Mozambique. My cousin said, Canada tried it. It ended up going back to Canada because they wanted so much bribe to let those packets come into the country. The government officials, they are so corrupt, they impede our aid. So instead we send the money, and my cousin went and bought a few bags full of corn seeds and gave it to the people. Sad. But that's what people are doing until today, sacrificing for this cause of paradise that was reopened. Peter wants to stay there forever, of course. But Jesus said, no, our mission is down on the plains and in the valleys and on other mountaintops and in the towns and the villages and the cities of the world. That's where the people are, and to them we have to convey that paradise is open again. To them we have to preach that there is forgiveness of sins and healing to broken lives and redirecting to lives that are in confusion. This is my son. Now, this Jesus heard it twice now. The first time as he's walking out of the Jordan River after being baptized, a cloud appeared from heaven and the voice said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And then Jesus was led into the desert for a harsh test, the test of the temptation by the devil. So just before the test, God prepares his son. Don't worry, you are my son. Now, as he is drawing closer to the cross, God prepares him one more time and reassures him, this is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Now Jesus is prepared to die for you and me. So having seen a glimpse of heaven, we go back and reassume our own paths in life, the stations assigned to us by God. And we convey to the people around us, in the family and the workplace and in the circle of friends, that paradise has been reopened and we are welcome. And it is offered to anyone that would hear the gospel of God. You and I have the privilege to tell them that heaven is open for anyone who wants to come. May the Holy Spirit bless us, that our proclaiming of the gospel may be successful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.